Want to apologize for the distractions of last week. Appreciate your prayers and well wishes. I'm feeling much better. More importantly, Lisa is feeling better as well. And so we're doing good at our house. Thank you for your prayers and well wishes, your patience with us. Want us to think together this morning about anchors in troubled waters. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, I want to invite your attention to Acts chapter 27, and we'll start at verse 20. Acts chapter 27, we want to start there at verse 20. It's kind of an exciting passage. Luke tells the story of Paul and his experience with a shipwreck. Paul is basically taken prisoner. He's not too worried about that, I don't think, because he knows that they're going to take him to Caesar, and he knows that he's supposed to see Caesar and talk to him. And so this is his way to get there. So I don't think he's really all that upset about it, but he's basically taken prisoner. They put him on a boat, the boat or the ship, and the ship's going to head to Rome. And he says, guys, I tell you what, just so you know, this is not a good idea right now. This is kind of, I know that we're about to get into some trouble, so we really ought to just stay right here for a little while at Crete. You know, we don't want to get out there in the ocean because it's about to get scary. And they said, nah, we know better than you do. You make tents, we sail on the seas, and so we know better than you do. And so we're going to head out. And they headed out, and sure enough, here comes the storms, and they're stuck right there in the middle of it. And kind of picking up there in the midst of the waves and the dark clouds, we pick it up at verse 20. He says, and since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on, all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. And when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not set sail from Crete and incurred this damage and loss. And yet, now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have told you. But we must run aground on a certain island. But when the 14th night had come, that's not the 14th night of the storm, but the 14th night since they left the port in Crete. When that 14th night had come, as we were being driven about in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors began to surmise that they were approaching some land, and they took soundings, found it to be 20 fathoms. A little bit farther on, they took another surrounding, took another sounding, and found it to be 15 fathoms. In other words, they're getting closer and closer to land, and that's what they want. They're looking for land. Verse 29, then, fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. We find ourselves in storms of life from time to time. And you can imagine what this storm must have been like for Paul and those on the ship. Just use your imagination and feel those waves tossing that ship back and forth. And this was not just the little white caps that kind of hit your boat out on Lake Waco. These are storm waves, you know, big waves, higher than the ship many times. And that ship would be tossed way up and almost come out into the air, and then would toss, the top would come down, and they'd go down into the water. They'd go right back up and back and forth. You know, everybody's feeling sick. Did you notice it said after they had gone without food for many days? You reckon why? I've seen some of the guys in our church go fishing out in the ocean before, just a few hours, and they were without lunch. So I understand. These guys were suffering out there without food for days. It was a scary time. Did you notice as well that it said they didn't see a star or the sun for a long time? That does two things to them. First, that tells you and me that this is a horrible, terrible, dark storm. The second thing it does is tell us that they are completely lost. How do you navigate out in the sea? You navigate by the use of the stars and the moon and the sun. If you can't see any of that stuff, you're lost. This was a terrible, terrible time for these guys. This is a horrible storm. And you and I find ourselves in similar storms from time to time. But the amazing thing is that Paul had such great courage. Luke describes the picture for us as neither sun nor stars were about. No small storm was assailing us. This is a terrible picture. We've been without food for all this time. And look at verse 22. And yet, now I urge you to keep up your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Paul had tremendous courage, even in the face of one of life's great storms. I wanted you to know this morning that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the ability to act in spite of fear. Fear is natural and normal and healthy. Courage says, even though I'm afraid, I'm still going to do what I know needs to be done. And Paul was courageous. It takes courage, real courage, to endure the worst storms of life. I think that's why God told Joshua three different times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. He knew Joshua was about to lead the people up against some terrible, strong armies and enemies. And those folks did not want Joshua and his people to get into that promised land. And so God told Joshua, you be strong and courageous. It's not enough just to be strong. We also need that courage to do that which we know needs to be done. And it is that courage that has made the difference in the lives of the greatest people in Scripture. If you think about it, David stood before the giant. Daniel stood before Nebuchadnezzar. Gideon stood before the Amalekites and the Midianites. Elijah stood before the prophets of Baal. Moses stood before Pharaoh. Esther stood before the king. Peter stood before the Sanhedrin. How can we have that kind of courage when we have to stand up to the storms of life? Well, I want to remind you, down there in verse 29, it said they were getting close to land. And so what they did was drop four anchors and then hold on, waiting till the dawn broke. Sometimes that's the best we can do. Sometimes Jesus stands up in the middle of the boat and says, peace, be still, and the storm is dead. But other times he has chosen to use that storm for some purpose, and all we can do is drop anchor and hold on. I want to give you four anchors this morning that you can use to hold on when the storms of life are beating against you. The first anchor that I want to share with you is God's presence. We have God's presence, and what an anchor that is. Look at the text again. We're in verse 23. Paul says, for this very night, an angel of the Lord, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me. This very night, an angel came and stood before me. You and I understand that when an angel speaks, he is there representing God. An angel is a messenger of God. And so when the God, according to Paul's words, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, he sent a messenger to stand before me. That was God saying to Paul, I am here. And that presence can make all the difference. James Dobson tells the story of when he was young, he was afraid at night. I think there was a storm going on, if I remember correctly. For whatever reason, he was afraid. And Dad came into his room and said, it's okay, son, you're all right, go to sleep, it's no big deal. Dad left the room, and before long, James was scared again. Dad came back in and said, it's all right, son, don't worry about it, go to sleep. And before long, James was scared again. Finally, he got up from his bed, he went into his father's room, and he laid on the floor down by his father's bed. And all his father did was drop his arm over the side of the bed so his hand reached down toward the floor. And whenever James got scared, all he had to do was reach up and hold that hand, and then he knew he was okay. It was just the confidence of knowing that my father is here. Knowing that my father is near means that I can endure the storm. And that's what I want to tell you this morning, because somebody's going through a storm. And if you're not yet, the storm's arising. It's a-coming. I want you to know that you can anchor yourself, that you can hold on till dawn, just because you know the Father is there. His hand is here to hold on to you. His presence speaks of power and authority, and we know that we're okay when the Father is close by. The early American Indians had a unique practice of training young braves. The story is told that on the night of the boy's 13th birthday, after he learned how to hunt, after he had learned how to scout, after he had learned how to fish, on the evening of his 13th birthday, he was put to the final test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until then, he had never been away from the security of the family and the tribe. But on this night, he was blindfolded, taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods, and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, he visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. After what seemed like an eternity, dawn finally broke, and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees in the outline of the path. And then he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father who had kept watch over him all night. Sometimes when the storm gets bad enough, the clouds get dark enough, and we can't see the sun, much less the stars, we don't know where we're headed. But we need to remember that even when we can't see him, the Father is standing by, close, near at hand, watching over, taking care of us. When I was at seminary, I heard a lot of people say a lot of things. That's part of what seminary is. You listen to a lot of stuff. But after all the stuff that I remember hearing and most of that I forgot hearing, there's one statement that I'll never forget, and that was Dr. David Garland, teaching Old Testament, stood in front of the class and said that God is that presence which is unseen yet more real than any other. We don't always know that God is here, but he is present and more real than any other. We may not see him clearly because the storm is so dark, but I assure you, that presence is here. Lottie Pickett wrote the words, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, which almost conquered my soul. I've heard the voice of the Savior bidding me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger when my friends are all gone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. You have an anchor that you can drop when you have to hold on till dawn. And that anchor is just knowing that the Father is here. There's another anchor that you need to know about. And that is God's purpose for my life. Look at verse 23. Verse 23, Paul says, "On this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood before me saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you.'" He said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. There's a purpose for your life, and you have not yet completed your purpose. You must stand before Caesar." God has a purpose for your life. Paul was able to help comfort the other men simply by saying, "I know that God is at work. I have a purpose, and I've not yet accomplished that purpose." What you and I need to remember this morning is that we have a purpose for being here, and our purpose is bigger than our circumstances. Our purpose, God's purpose for us, is bigger than our circumstances. When the circumstances threaten us, when the storms rage, we can know that God's not through yet. He's not going to let the circumstances thwart His plans for us. He's too big for that. His purposes are bigger than our circumstances. With that sense of purpose, we can get through the storm. Just by knowing that He's not done with us yet, we know that the dawn will break eventually. You can drop that anchor of God's presence and hold on till dawn. You can drop that anchor of God's purpose and hold on till dawn. And the third anchor that I want to share with you this morning is God's protection. God's protection. Look at verse 24. In verse 24, the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. Behold, God has granted you all those who are sailing with you." God is going to protect you. God has granted you not only your protection, but all those who are sailing with you. God is here to take care of you. I won't ask you to answer out loud, but just in the privacy of your own mind and your own heart, when I say that God is here and able to take care of you, do you really believe that? I think so often we see God high and lifted up, way up there somewhere away from us, and He is that. But God is so magnificent that He is not only distant and holy and separate, He is also at the very same moment very present. Very present help in a time of struggle. You and I can't really grasp that. We need it to be one or the other. We need Him to be a great big God way up there high somewhere taking care of everything. Or we need Him to be right here close by me. It's hard for us to recognize He can do both at the same time. Now, how many of us really believe that God is right here, ready to protect us, able to protect us, willing to protect us, wanting to protect us every single day? Beloved, if you have accepted Christ, if you're one of God's children, then as your Father, He wants to take care of you. Scripture says not to worry about things, instead to cast our cares on Him because He cares about us. God is here, able, willing to protect us. And so Luther sings, a mighty fortress is our God. A fortress is a big wall that protects those within. God is a mighty fortress protecting us. Likewise, David said in the Psalms, "For you are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, you will lead me and guide me." You are my rock and my fortress. David didn't just say, "You're one of the rocks, you're a fortress, you're strong, you're mighty." He made it very personal. He said, "You're mine. I couldn't get by without you. You are my fortress. You're my rock. You're the one that I depend on." Beloved, I want you to know this morning that you can make that your personal testimony as well. To say, "My God, the God to whom I belong and whom I serve has promised to protect me. He is my fortress and my rock." You can drop the anchor of God's presence and hold on till dawn. You can drop the anchor of God's purpose and hold on till dawn. You can drop the anchor of God's protection and hold on till dawn. And finally, you can drop the anchor of God's promises and learn to hold on till dawn. Look at verse 25. Since the angel came and told Paul that they didn't need to be afraid, he was going to fulfill his purpose and see Caesar, God had granted all those protection. Then verse 25, "Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told." I believe God. This is different than showing up in Sunday school or church and the teacher, the preacher says something that sounds good and we nod and say, "Yeah, I like that. I believe that." This is different. Paul is out in the midst of the storm. Things have not gotten any better yet. That ship is still being tossed back and forth and up and down and flip side in all kinds of different ways. And the thunder's still rolling and the lightning is still flashing. And in the midst of the storm, in the worst of circumstances, that's when Paul says, "I believe God." When we don't see Him, when we're not comfortable, when we are scared, that's when we have to decide, do we really believe God? Or do we just like the sound of it on Sunday morning? Paul said once and for all, "I believe God. God said He would take care of us, and I believe Him." I want you to know that the Bible is full of promises from our loving Father. It's full of promises. From the beginning to the end, there are promises that God makes to us so that we can know that He's here and that we can trust Him. The only question is, do you believe Him? When He makes a promise, do you believe Him? What do you do with the promises in the Bible? Let me suggest a few things. In order, 1 through 5. This is what you do with the promises of God that we find in the Bible. First, find them. Find them. The way you do that is you open this thing up and you start reading. You find the promises that are there. And then as you find them, read them. Now that's a little bit different than just glancing over like we look at the headlines in the newspaper. Am I the only one that does that? I get the newspaper and I just glance at the headlines until I find an article that interests me. The rest of them, I don't read that stuff. That's not the way we read Scripture, particularly when we're looking for promises. We read it carefully, looking at every word, the meaning of each word and each phrase. Find them, read them, study them. What did those words really mean? What is He saying to me? And then memorize them. When we memorize something, we take it out of our head, we put it in our heart, we carry it with us. So then when the storms come, we don't have to scramble around looking for what to do. It's already here. I've already got it with me, and I'm good to go. I'm ready. You find them, you read them, you study them, you memorize them, and then live by them. Paul said, I believe God. God said He'd take care of us. I believe Him. That affected how Paul lived through that experience. When we decide, I believe God, and I'm going to trust His promises, that affects how we live by those promises. It affects how we experience the circumstances of life. Air Force Sergeant Arthur Powell told his own story, his testimony, basically, in July of 94. He said this, when I was a kid growing up in St. Nicholas Project in Harlem, I was scared. I was afraid of shooting, gang harassment, threats from drug dealers. Dad wasn't around much, and Mom, who wasn't well, had her hands full raising 8 children on welfare. So Grandma Powell took me in tow, a feisty woman with discerning eyes and an implicit faith in God. Hattie Powell, my grandma, took me to church all the time. One Sunday morning in 1964, we left the Abyssinian Baptist Church. She stopped on the sidewalk, lifted my chin, and using my middle name, said, Maxwell, you have got to live by the Word. She pointed back to the old stone church. She said, you heard what the preacher said, to pray, to ask the Lord for guidance and protection. Well, it won't do you much good unless you... And then she grabbed me by the arm, directed my attention to a man that was hanging out against a lamppost. And she said, see that man? He's always bragging about his big plans, but he never has done nothing. Talk is easy, she continued. It's the doing that counts. God tells us to be doers of His Word and not just hearers. Remember, Maxwell, Monday doing is better than Sunday talking. Now think on that. Monday doing is better than Sunday talking. Find those promises, read them, study them, memorize them, live by them. Monday doing is better than Sunday talking. I think Paul Harvey was saying the same thing when he said, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. If you don't live it, you really don't believe it. Storms of life can be awful frightening. They can be scary. They can be dangerous. But you've got some anchors that you can drop. You can drop the anchor of God's presence and hold on till dawn. You can drop the anchor of God's purpose and hold on till dawn. You can drop the anchor of God's protection and hold on till dawn. You can drop the anchor of God's promises and hold on till dawn. And when you drop those anchors, somehow the anchors have to be connected to you, right? If you just throw an anchor overboard, it's no good unless there's a chain attached, unless it's connected to the ship. So what's the chain that connects us to God's presence and His purpose and His protection and His promises? What connects us to those things? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Christ, when you trust Him, you are then connected to God's plans and His presence and His purpose, His protection and His promises. So let me ask you this morning, have you given your life to Jesus? Have you trusted Him personally? Or are you out on life's storms alone?